So I don't think I could do it any other way. You know, I like that, you know, that carrot on the stick, I guess, right? That keeps you going, you know, the excitement of it. And of course, I love helping people that need help also.
I want to welcome you back to the Injury Pros Podcast. I am excited today to be joined by attorney Todd Saylor. Todd Saylor is a trial attorney with Cordisco and Sale. And the topic I want to discuss with him today is just a little bit about his life and, you know, how he became an attorney and, you know, what's been important in his journey to what he's doing today. And, you know, what you're going to find out with Todd is his theme is really grit, toughness, and perseverance. Todd, how are we today?
Good. How are you doing, Alex?
Good. Thanks for joining me. You know, Todd, I want to talk a little bit about a couple things that we really want to focus on in Injury Pros, which is really understanding your story, kind of your background, the things that you've been through, and then how you've applied that to all the different things you've done as a trial lawyer, right? And how that's kind of changed your perception on different things. So I want to start right from the beginning. You know, you have a kind of an incredible background, a lot of things that you're into. You know, a couple things we noted before we started. You know, you're a rugby player. You know, you've been a border patrol agent. You've run ultra marathons. I think these are some pretty interesting experiences that I want to talk with you about. I thought maybe let's start kind of your history in rugby. I know you have young sons that still play rugby. Kind of why that sport's important to you and how you've applied that to the things you've done in the legal world.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Appreciate that, Alex. Yeah, I got into rugby in college. I was a football player in high school. But I wasn't the biggest kid when I graduated high school. I was about 160 pounds maybe. So I found out that you can play rugby even though you're not huge because you need some fast guys who get the ball and run with the ball and tackle the other fast guys on the other team that can are trying to run with the ball. So there's big guys. Both my sons are way bigger than me. They're like 230 pounds. So they play in a different position than I played. Although I just played with my oldest son 2 weeks ago, which may not have
been... You just played?
Just played.
Wow.
May not have been the best idea. I hadn't played in 17 years, but my old college was having an alumni game, and my oldest said, come on, Dad, let's play. We can play together. So against my better judgment, I went and I played, and it was a blast. I had such a good time, and actually did pretty good for being... a lot older than...
17 years
than
is
most...
a long break to take from fights.
Yeah, and I'm a lot older than the last... When I played in college, obviously, but, you know, did pretty well. I surprised myself, and I had a ton of fun, but it may not have been the best idea because it was 2 weeks ago, and I'm still recovering physically.
So. Yeah, and I know it's been a while since you started playing, right? But, like, what clicks where you're saying, hey, that's a sport I want to try? You know, you watch guys play rugby. You know, it looks – they come away pretty beaten up, like – kind of what mentality do you have to say, hey, that's a sport I want to try? What gets you into that?
I guess I just was always an aggressive kid growing up, and I liked, you know, physical contact sports. You know, like I said, I played football, and I loved that. I like playing defense better than offense because I like tackling and that kind of thing and attacking more. When I went to college, I just thought, well, this is a good sport. I tried some lacrosse for a little while, but when I found out you don't have to be gigantic to play rugby, I thought, well, I know how to run with the ball. I know how to tackle, so let's give rugby a try. And I like the toughness of it and, you know, just that you have to give it your all. You have to play hard. And I guess maybe I'm a bit of a risk taker.
All right, Todd. So based on that history with rugby, you know, going from that, now you're – you know, a trial lawyer, you're dealing with different types of issues every day and then getting hit over and over, right? So
right.
How do you apply, like, some of the things you've learned through rugby, the lessons you've learned through rugby, maybe things you're seeing with your son starting to play? How do you kind of apply that back to what you do for a living?
I guess the toughness and working hard. You know, when you play a sport like that, you have to prepare yourself. You have to be physically prepared. You have to, you know, get into the weight room. You have to run. You have to be in shape. You know, they estimate that you run about 5 miles during a rugby game.
Wow.
Amongst all the hitting and that kind of thing. So I just like the preparedness. I think that helps you with trial work. I mean, you have to prepare so that you have to know every little detail in a case, or you know, you could get outflanked by the defense or something. You can't let something surprise you when you go into a deposition or, you know, a trial. You have to be very prepared and you have to be tough, you know, like in rugby, you have to make a decision on the field and go with it and go hard. You can't go halfway or part way, you know, you have to be 100%. You make a decision, you're going to keep the ball and run with it, you got to go. And if there's people in your way, well, you just got to run into them as hard as you can. That's the game. And in trial, you have to go hard all the way. You have to make decisions. There can be different decisions to make strategy-wise, but once you decide on something, you have to go with it and trust your instinct, trust your gut, go with it 100%. You can't be, you know, unsure of yourself because the jury will pick up on that.
Yeah, if you're unsure of yourself in rugby, you're going to get splattered. It's probably kind of the same thing in the courtroom, right? It's not really that different. Yeah.
Right, maybe a different type of splattering, but yeah, a splattering nonetheless.
Yeah, it's not going to feel good either way. So
no, it's more of a mental splattering, I guess, in trial work or the courtroom, and instead of a physical
one. Yeah, and it's cool to see your sons playing the same sport, and then you have the opportunity to play with them. And I know you were actually just out in Ireland, and your sons were playing out there, which was a pretty cool experience, I'm sure.
That was a great experience. Yeah, my sons play for a great team in Doylestown. Very good coaching, very good program, which has prepared them well to play in college. My oldest is going to play at Kutztown now, which is one of the top teams in the country, actually. Mm-hmm. And just a great time. Good people, the parents, the coaches, we all had a great time, and the kids did very well. They won all three games against Irish teams, and usually American teams don't do that well.
Yeah, it makes sense. You would think that they would have the better history of the sport.
Right. What a great country, great hosts. Every team that hosted us were, you know, very hospitable. And in rugby, there's a tradition to have a party after the game.
Too.
And, you know, they would have a party at their clubhouses because over there, rugby's so big, they actually have big clubhouses and locker rooms and, you know, a bar area. So we just had a great time with the people over there.
That's awesome. So I'm going to use this moment to, we're going to segue a little bit, right? So this is I think this is one of the most interesting. We've talked about this before, but I want to share it with other people. You know, you had a year early on in your career, kind of when you were starting your career, where you spent some time as a border patrol agent, which I think is a background most people would kind of hear a little bit more about, like what got you into that, what got you started, and then, you know, some of the things that you experienced there, and then we'll kind of talk about how that, the things you learned have helped you here. But just first of all, how'd you get started in that?
Yeah, somebody I knew at college. I was going to Bloomsburg for my undergrad, and I took criminal justice because I wanted to be some kind of federal agent. I was looking for, you know, some kind of exciting career. I guess I crave excitement and living on the edge a little bit, maybe. And so I thought, wow, that sounds really like a really cool job, you know. And then I looked into it, and they said, well, you need to be proficient in physical, you know, activity, but I have to be able to be physically fit, which I was, proficient in firearms, which I had grown up shooting, and I was that, you know, and able to do all these physical demanding things and be able to handle danger. And I thought, wow, this sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the trifecta of things there. Yeah,
and let's give this a try. So I took the test and went out for an interview in San Diego, and you know, back then it was a lot harder to get that job than I realized. It was about 1 in 500 made it. But
really,
I got through, and yeah, I was a Border Patrol agent out in San Diego.
Yeah. All right. So you get started first day, first week, first. What's your experience like in those first couple of days? Like, was it what you expected it to be? Was it different? Was it more boring than you thought? Were you in over your head? Like, what did you think?
Well, it was kind of all of the above, really, which is, you know, it was. Maybe it seems like an odd answer, but there will be times where you'd just be sitting in a truck, because basically they would have you sit, drive to a certain location in your truck on the border, and they'd have a truck every so often. You know, it wouldn't be an exact distance because of the canyons and, you know, things like that. But wherever you could have a good spot, you park a truck most of the time. And, you know, you could just be sitting there for hours with nothing happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, people come running
over. Mayhem.
And then it's like, yeah, craziness, and you're chasing people around, and You know, they're running from you. You're tackling people, you know. I mean, so it was a little bit of both. You know, the backup units, you could just, they would have sensors where if people crossed it, it would go off, or they'd have cameras, like infrared cameras watching certain locations, and they would call out the location. And I loved getting the backup job because you didn't have to sit in one spot. You would just go to the action and park your truck and get out and chase after people. So it was exciting at times. There was some danger, you know, but I was 22, and you know, you don't really appreciate the dangers as much when you're that in
for sure.
Yeah, so it seems like some of the challenging parts of it were going from 0 to 60 all the time.
Right.
You're bored, whatever, 80-90% of the time, and then the action, and that probably was hard to pursue doing, you know, right, for a long portion of your life. So
right, that's why I ended up leaving, because I just wanted more action. You know, there was a lot of times, there were some exciting times, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the times I was in the truck and I thought, I don't know if I could do this for, you know, 20, 30 years, because it's just too much downtime.
Yeah.
You know? So I actually ended up going to law school with thoughts of possibly joining the FBI at one point.
Yep.
And then, you know, life, things happen, and I decided to go into private practice and doing trial work, which I think suits me the best, because it is exciting. So it is kind of, you're on the edge. You have to rely on yourself. You have to be, have confidence in your abilities and in your decisions. You know, and it's not, you're not just sitting there for a certain amount of time billing hours, you know, and it doesn't matter what you do, you get paid no matter what. Well, you have to be good, and you have to, you know, put your full effort into it, because you have to win for people. You have to get people compensated to be successful. And, you know, some people don't like that because it's stressful. And at times I thought, well, is this comfortable? You know, you always have to win to get paid. But, you know, then I thought about it. I thought, I don't think I could do it any other way. You know, I like that, you know, that carrot on the stick, I guess, right? That keeps you going, you know, the excitement of it. And, of course, I love helping people that need help also. You know, no offense to anybody that works on the other side, but I just couldn't work for, you know, a corporation that's trying to keep people from getting compensated. And I understand, you know, they have a job to do, and I understand that some cases people may not be, you know, they may be exaggerating their injuries or something. But since I got involved in this, most of the people I see are legitimately injured and need help, and they can't do it on their own against these big insurance companies or big corporations. So that is a big motivator, also.
So whole theme of this episode was grit, perseverance, and you kind of hit it on the head. If you're going to work in this industry, you're going to be a trial lawyer. There's a mentality that you kind of have to have, or most will have to have, to be successful, which is, you use the analogy of the carrot on the stick, right? You always have to be chasing and be competitive and want to win, right? It's not really the field you go into if you just kind of want to sit back and clock in and you know, do attorney's work and go home, right? You have to, exactly. You have to have that drive, you know, and come into Cordisco and Sale, good fit for you because, you know, nice size firm, other attorneys with a similar mentality, something you might not necessarily see in a much bigger firm or a firm that, you know, maybe doesn't have the culture that's here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that drew me here was just common, I guess, personalities of the attorneys that, you know, we're aggressive. We fight for people. And I know a lot of personal injury attorneys will say, we fight for you, we fight for you. Here, it's legitimate. I mean, it will go the extra mile. Maybe we would go into your ultra marathon, but it's like a
second. Yeah, so I'm going to cut you off. So we're talking about, you know, we've already hit on here, you know, former rugby player. Well, former rugby player, but he played a couple of days ago.
Right.
After 17 years, tried it again, right? Former Border Patrol agent, right? Another pretty crazy story. But Todd didn't even get into this yet. So Todd has run ultra marathons. And I think ultra marathons, I'm going to let you share the mileage and the distance and things that you've done in these races, because I'll mess it up.
Okay. Yeah. So I took a little hiatus recently, but I'll probably get back into it at some point. But I guess since I was about 40, about 10 years or more, I got into ultramarathons, and a friend of mine got me into it. I just wanted to run to get in shape and maybe run some 5Ks and 10Ks and things, you know. And a friend of mine I met on Facebook sort of recruited me to start running ultra marathons, which I had no thoughts ever doing that. But, you know, I had some life changes at the time, and I think I was trying to, you know, prove some things to myself maybe. And you could do that through these ultras, you know, you could get through, you could run and go through pain. And, you know, after maybe 20 miles, your legs are just shot, and you have to have physical ability and you have to train for it. But at a certain point, there's so much mental aspect to it, that you just have to have the grit to keep on going, even when you hurt and even when your legs don't want to move. They will move if you just keep making them, before you find out.
And what is the distance exactly on these? Or they vary depending on the race that you're in?
That generally they'll say it's technically anything over the marathon distance, which is 26.2, I think it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, the real ultra people will say, well, it's not really an ultra until you get to the 50K mark.
Which yeah.
About, you can't just run 27 miles and say you're at an ultra.
Makes sense.
You have to get to the 50-kilometer mark, which is 31 something.
Yeah, 30 point something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've run a bunch of 50-kilometer races. I like them, and they're trail races, so you're not on pavement, so it takes you a little longer. You're going up hills and, you know, over roots and over rocks and things.
It's probably less boring.
It's way less boring. It keeps your mind occupied. You know, I don't need to really listen to music when I'm on the trails like you do. Might get bored if you're just running on pavement.
For sure.
So they take a little longer usually. They'll take, you know, 7, 8, 9, you know, hours, some of these 50 kilometers. So it's a full day's work.
But, yeah.
And I've run up to just, I've finished 50-mile races. I've attempted a 100-mile race a couple times, but, you know, I had a tendency to feel underprepared towards the end of my training and overdo it and get hurt. And then I go into these 100-mile tough races injured, which basically you do that and you don't have much of a shot. So,
yeah. So we kind of spoke about the rugby and the Border Patrol and how that applied back to what you do now. So this is a little bit different. This is, now we're getting into endurance, right?
Right.
Kind of that grit of like doing something over a long, long period of time. A lot of people listening probably already know, you know, trial law, being a personal injury attorney, cases can drag out, right? You, from the time you start a case till it's just, there's a, some settlement or there's some resolution, we can, over a year, right? So like, how has that kind of mentality applied back from the things you're doing with the marathons to being a lawyer?
Right. Well, I think there's a common theme to these things you're bringing up, you know, the rugby, the Border Patrol, the ultra marathons, and that is, you have to be very determined. That's the one thing. Determined to prepare yourself, determined to win, determined to, you know, turn over every stone and dig deep to find, you know, the evidence in cases that you need to try to win the case. And you have to have courage in all of them. You know, I mean, courage in rugby that you don't, that you could get hurt and you keep going anyway, go hard for your team. Courage in the Border Patrol, you could literally be shot, but you go anyway because you're doing your duty. Courage in the ultra marathons, a little different. I mean, there is some physical danger if you trip or fall or things like that, but it's more, you go in there knowing that it's going to hurt, and you do it anyway. And it's just a determination and the will to get it done and finish. And that they're all those traits are needed by a trial attorney as well. It takes courage to take these people's cases that need your help and they're relying on you, and you're going against these big corporations, and you know, you go anyway, and the way you beat them is you outwork them. You know, you just keep driving and driving, and that's the endurance part. You know, you're going to hit some pitfalls maybe in cases sometimes, just like if you're running an ultra marathon, you're going to feel sick at times. You might twist your ankle or something, but you keep going because you want to get it done. Same thing being a trial attorney. So I draw back on these experiences because, you know, I know I've gone through things before and I've come out the other side. And I just, you know, draw back on the ultra marathon. You just never give up. You know? And if you do that, good things will happen for you. Just keep on going.
Yeah, that's a great message, Todd. Before we wrap up here, I want to hit you with, so we do this lightning round at the end of each episode, right? So I got three for you. There's a theme if you listen to the whole episode, right? So we're going to start, which one of these took more grit? So I have three of these for you. All right, so which took more grit? Border Patrol boot camp or your first jury trial?
Wow, that's a tough one because both of them took grit, but in a different way, right? You know, the boot camp, you had to run and a lot of classwork and while you were tired from the running and, but you know, that was physically, demanding, but the trial is way more mentally demanding, you know, and, probably more stressful really because, you know, like I said before, someone's fate is in your hands to a large extent, you know, and it's not all the attorneys, you know, the client has to testify and do well and the experts have to do their, you know, they have to testify and do a good job. But to a large extent, it's in our hands. We're the conductors. We organize everything and we have to present the case so a jury understands it. And so probably a jury trial, honestly.
Yeah, and the stress isn't about you. It's about the client in this situation.
It is. Right? You want to come through
a little bit.
Yeah, you want to come through for them. And, you know, you just don't know what a jury is thinking. But, you know, really, they could, you could do the great best job ever and they still might not find for you just because they, you know, believe the evidence presented by the defense more. Or, you know, you just don't know what, it's the unknown, I think, you know, that.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right, I have a second one for you. So, your first rugby game you ever played in or your first deposition?
That's kind of the same as the last one.
Really. You're only getting hit in one of those things.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, you get beat up in a rugby game, but...
it's more fun.
Honestly, it's more fun, and it's probably less stressful. Again, you know, my first deposition, when you don't know what you don't know, that's what develops the stress. Now, you know, I've done hundreds and hundreds of depositions now, so I really don't get nervous for them anymore. And trials sort of the same way. I mean, everybody gets a little nervous, but once you do things a little more, less nerves kind of come into play. But yeah, probably my first deposition would be the answer there.
Fair enough. All right, I got one more for you. This will probably be a quick one. So, kilometer 40 of an ultra marathon versus waiting for defense counsel to return a call. Let's say, what's more annoying, kilometer 40 or waiting for defense counsel to return the call?
More annoying would be the defense counsel ignoring you.
Easy answer.
Yes. But the what's more grueling or what's more painful would probably be definitely mile 40 of the ultra marathon.
Well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate you doing the lightning round with us. You know, again, the whole theme here is grit, perseverance, toughness. Todd, anything you want to wrap up with here?
No, I don't think so. It's just, you know, if you come here to Cordisco and Sailed, you will get those qualities in our attorneys. We will go the extra mile. You know, you need smarts. You need to know the law. But beyond that, the thing that makes the difference is who works harder. We'll work hard.
It's a great way to finish it up, Todd. Hey, I appreciate you being here. I want to just quick tell everybody listening, if you have legal questions, you have a legal issue, you've been injured, you can reach out to Todd Saylor at Cordisco & Sale. If you want to see more episodes or listen, you can subscribe anywhere that you listen to your podcast. You can watch us on YouTube or you can visit us at injurypros.com. Thanks again for joining us today.
All right. Thanks, Alex.